You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at passioncitychurch.com. Today's talk comes from Pastor Louis Giglio, and it's a continuation of a series entitled Fight Club.
So we're wrapping up our Fight Club series. It was a little short run. And the reason why we did a series around Fight Club is because I wanted all of us men in the church to really understand what it is we're after as the men of our house. And so instead of just sending an email or a text or putting it online, I wanted to talk about it out loud for a little bit because, A, it takes us a few times to hear something for God to normally put it in our hearts. B, there's a little accountability because the women and some of our children are in the room. And so now we've all heard it together, and if guys, like, if we don't want to be in a fight club, we got to explain to our family why we didn't want to do that. So that's a little awkward. But I'm not trying to put guys on the spot. I've got more mercy for the men in this room than anybody in this room, because I am one of the men in this room. But I also know that I have a desire to be everything God created me to be. And I know that God put destiny in my life. But I also know from the very first man who came on planet Earth, the possibility of us not fulfilling our destiny is a very real possibility. And I understand that you can make $5 million in your lifetime. You can run your own business or several businesses or open a chain or a franchise of businesses. You can be the best golfer in your little clump of guys that play every round, or you can be the top 10% of the CrossFitters in the city, or accomplish some great endeavor, or move up the corporate ladder, or be successful in the arts community. You can do a lot of great things in life. You can have a family and have kids and have grandkids and still miss out on the God-given destiny that is inside of our lives. And if I don't believe that about me, then I believe I'm a cut above Adam. I believe I'm a cut above King David. I believe I'm a cut above the men in the stories of Scripture who didn't fulfill their God-given destiny but needed the grace of God to help them along. And I think there's a general characterization about men that is true, and that is that we tend to be isolated and insulated. We tend to be isolated and insulated. We tend to say things like, I'm good. Everything's good. I got it. Don't worry about me. I'm taking care of you. Oh, nobody needs to be concerned about me. I'm the one who's concerned about everybody else. And we tend to be insulated, not because we don't have feelings, but I think we just don't want to deal with our feelings. We're not naturally wired up and blessed like you wonderful ladies are to be in touch with your feelings. And it doesn't mean we're feeling less. It just means we're scared of turning into an emotional basket case. Not to say that sounded like that's what women are. That's not what I meant. But the men were like, yeah, I'm tracking with you. You got to give us at least something to laugh at, ladies. We need a little relief. That's not to say that women are that. It's to say that men tend to put things in extremes. And for a man, it's like, if I go down that road, I'm going to turn into an emotional dude, and I really don't want to do that because I don't understand that, and I don't want to go that route. Now, some of you guys are very emotional, and we all love you because you're tough and tender. You know, you're a man of steel and a man of velvet, and you can, you know, run a business and cry at the right time in a movie, and we love you for that. That's awesome. But a lot of us are more likely to say, I think I got it, and I'm not going to cry in public. You know, I told this story many, many times, but Mount Rainier is my most special place on earth I've ever been. Went there as a college student with a friend of mine after studying it in our geography class at Georgia State. I so destroyed the exam on Mount Rainier as a college student. It wasn't even funny. They didn't even need to bother giving me the exam. I should have been given then the exam because I'm a map freak. And I studied the topographical maps of Mount Rainier, having never seen it, never been to Washington State, didn't know anything about it. For one of the furthest points you can get in the contiguous United States away from Atlanta, Georgia. But when I went there thinking I was going to give a presentation to my friend who was with me, who'd been driving across America, camping out at the national parks of our country for a few weeks together. I was going to give him the grand presentation once we got up to Paradise Point. We got up there and I started sobbing, short story. Couldn't stop sobbing. Knew that I wasn't going to stop sobbing. Was emotionally wrecked by the beauty of what I intellectually had known. Well, this is awkward for two men in a meadow standing in front of a mountain. And I've said this many, many times. We did not make eye contact. Because the number one rule of men crying is if another man's crying, you don't make eye contact with him. You all right, brother? Good? You okay? He's over here. All right. Anything I can pray for? So we don't make eye contact, nor do we talk. I just leave, go back, get in the car. True story. A little bit later, Johnny Mosier comes, gets in the car. So ladies, do we talk about it once we get in the car? No. No, we drive to our campsite and make camp. Do we talk about it over dinner, guys? No. Do we talk about it the next morning over breakfast? No. Do we ever talk about it? Never. Never talk about it. Why? Because men don't want to connect too strongly to an emotional journey, especially if another man is in the equation. And it takes time sometimes for us to process where we are and what we feel. Now, that story had been a woman who was in a geography class at Georgia State, and her friend, Sally, and they're riding around America camping, and they're going to go to Rainier. I'm telling you, they went this summer with their families back to that meadow. They go there every summer. Kids, this is where it happened, and we were standing here together, and it was the most amazing time of our lives, and we hugged, and we embraced, and I didn't know why she was crying, but then I started crying, and it was powerful and beautiful, and we enjoyed the moment. I want the family to come and to remember this spot. But guys, I've never gone back to that spot since. But I'm going there for my 60th birthday. In the spirit of me and Johnny Mosier, I'm just trying to help the guys understand that, you know, I get it. And a lot of times we're not likely to want to peel back the layers. And a lot of times we're like an onion. You know, one layer goes off and we think we deserve a trophy, you know. I was a little vulnerable, and you're like, yeah, about 100 more layers, and we'll be down to something. And so for guys that tend towards isolation, which honestly, there are probably some guys in the room, I would bet, I'm just talking out loud for a few minutes because the ladies are giving me the silent encouragement to keep going, so I'm going to keep going just for a minute. Most of us guys have great friends, but a lot of our great friends, you'll notice if you start asking guys, are guys that don't live in Atlanta. Oh, my buddy Paul, he's my closest friend. He's in Pittsburgh. We went to college together. That's awesome. Yeah, my friend Tony, man, we used to work at the same company, and he got transferred, and we're really tight, but we don't live in the same city together. And guys just tend towards socialization for the sake of a sporting event, typically, or a fishing trip, or a golf outing, but isolation when it comes to people really being in our lives. And when we're isolated, we're easy targets. And insulation for us just is our inability to really be honest with ourselves about the things that have pierced into our hearts. And there have been things over all of our lives, disappointments, a job that didn't turn out, a relationship that didn't turn out, a dad that was a jerk, or a dad that wasn't even there, or a dad that intentionally tried to hurt us in some way. And we've just glossed over that because that's what men do, and we figured it out, and we've navigated it, and honestly, we've done pretty good, because look at us, we're here, we're employed, we provided for our family, we put a roof over everybody's head, we put food on the table, and we're doing the best we can. A lot of guys in this room are saying, I never even had a dad to know what a dad is, but I'm doing the best I can. But at the end of the day, I think there's something more. I know there is more for the men of our house. And we have great men in this house. I want to say that one more time. If you ask me, name the top 20 men you know or have known in your lifetime, 10 of them would be in this church. There are phenomenal fathers in this church. There are incredible husbands in this church. There are extraordinary, honorable, game-changing influencers in this church. And there are men of prayer and men of the word in this house. But I think for us to raise that bar a little bit, it's going to be a beautiful thing over the arc of Passion City Church. And I believe a fight club is a key component to how that's going to work for all of us. The text that supports Fight Club, if you think those words are a little too aggressive, A, you don't understand men. So if you're like, I don't know why we use the word fight, we kind of like boxing guys do. And there's more guys than you think in this room that would watch an MMA fight on TV if you weren't in the room. And we wrestled when we were kids and wrestled till we were too old to wrestle anymore. Anybody remember wrestling up into the college zone with your friends until somebody really got hurt? And then you're like, okay, we're going to have to, you know, kind of knock off the wrestling. At this point, we like, you know, that kind of thing, but we're not talking about fighting each other. We're not talking about fighting for the sake of fighting. We're not talking about fighting against things. We're talking about what we're contending for. Wrapping that around 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight. This is what Paul says at the end of his life. I have fought the good fight. So it's actually scriptural for us to say, we want to contend, and we want to fight. He said, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I kept the faith. So we want to be men who come to the end of our journey on planet Earth, whether that's 30 years or 80 years, and say, I contended for what mattered most in my life. Not just that I contended, but I contended for the things that matter most. I ran my race and finished it. What does that mean? I did what God put me on the planet to do, and I kept the faith. In other words, even to the very end, after all the storms, all the hardship, all the highs and all the lows and all the difficulty in between, I still believed in what I believed in when I started on this journey with God. I still believed in that at the end. And I believe a fight club is going to help us be that kind of man. It's like they say about a football game or a soccer match. I mean, World Cup's on right now. Everybody's seeing these stadiums. They're filled with, you know, 60, 70, 80,000 people. Or you go to the bins down here and you see a Falcons game or a United game, and the place is packed with 50, 60, 70,000 people. But I love that analogy of how a football game works. You've got 75,000 slightly overweight people, just speaking about myself, I'm holding my stomach in right now as I say that, in the stands who are experts on everything, but you got 22 guys on the field who are actually playing the game. And I think that's what we're really trying to leverage in these next few months heading into this arc called Fight Club together. We want the 70,000 out of the stands and on the field. Because there's something powerful about that. I really didn't play a lot of organized sports in my life. I ended up playing tennis more than anything else, and that's more of an individual sport. Thank you very much. But I did my best at tennis at doubles, so at least there was two of us. But when you play football, especially at the highest level, and I've been up close to it at the highest collegiate level and a little bit at the professional level, but not enough to understand it remotely like somebody would who had played at that level or played in that Mercedes-Benz on that field. But when you play on that field, you understand what Fight Club is all about. Because you're out of the stands. You are not sitting in a chair at home with a, you know, big gulp in one hand and the remote in the other. You are committed. You have invested. You have sacrificed. And to the degree that you're on that field, you have become extraordinarily vulnerable. Because every play, every move, every execution, every block is graded and evaluated in the open. And to be one of those 11 people, or total 22 people, has taken a level of commitment and sacrifice, sweat, toil, tears, and blood that's completely different than the experience the people are having sitting in section 304, deciding if they want to get an Antico pizza or not at the halftime break. And I think it could be like that for us. We could sit in church, we could watch from a distance, we could know three or four or five guys who seem to be Jesus guys, and we could sort of celebrate and understand what that looks like. We could maybe get a hand up and worship occasionally, or we could just get on the field, get some guys of our own, make that commitment on our own and say, I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be a participant in what God wants me to be as a man, and I want to get in there with some other guys, and I want to see how to make that work. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. And that's what we're going for. So I want to talk really quickly about four arenas and five questions so that you'll understand what a fight club is. If you missed the last 2 weeks, we'll catch everybody up right here. Then I want to encourage you today that here's the process now. This is the beginning of the process now of getting your guys, getting organized, getting a fight club together, seeing how it works, registering your fight club so that you can be in the loop with the rest of us and beginning that journey. We want to fight, we talked about, in four arenas, and they are these. Number one, we want to fight for our walk with God. So the first thing we want to do as a man is contend for our relationship with God. Because the first thing the enemy's going to try to destroy in every man is his relationship with God. And the enemy be happy for us to do a million things as long as we don't become a man of the word and a man of prayer. Oh, I go to church. Oh, I believe in a good book. Oh, I've prayed that prayer. Oh, I definitely, you know, showed up at the men's Bible study occasionally. Oh, I definitely, you know, believe it all and support it all, and I'm giving to the church like a man would do. And God's like, all that's great, but that's not why you were created. You were created for a relationship with God. And the best gift any of us men can give to this generation and the ones that come is to be known as a man after God's own heart. We're going to keep coming back to those six defining words, the words that God used to capture King David's life. A man after God's own heart. And a man after God's own heart can be summarized like this: a man of the word and a man of prayer. And that's going to take a fight. Because nobody's rewarding that at the office. Nobody's rewarding the extra time you got up before you went to work. And if you want to get your workout in before work, now you've got extra time before your workout before you get to work. Nobody's rewarding us men carving out time to become students of the Word of God, to be immersed in the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, so that then A, we can live it, and B, we can pass it on to our children. Because Ephesians 6 says, that a father's job is not to exasperate his children, but to bring them up in the knowledge of the Lord. A father's number one job is to not put the bar so high that your kids end up giving up at the end of the day because you push them so hard and so far, and to teach them the ways of God, a role that primarily we tend to want to offload to the women in our lives. Now you raise up the kids in the ways of God. I'll go and kill dinner and cook it on the grill. And God says, no, men, you raise up your children in the ways of the Lord. And so how would we possibly do that if we weren't in the Word and if we weren't men of prayer? So we want to contend for our walk with God. The second arena we want to fight in is we want to fight for our heart and our character. Proverbs in another place, 22:1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. And all we need to do is take a quick survey of the landscape of humanity and the men in our culture, and you'll understand quickly that in our culture, silver and gold is way more important than being esteemed. And if the choice were there for most men, great riches would be an easy choice over a good name. It happens every single day in our world. And so we know we have to fight for our heart and our character. David was brave. He was discerning. He was anointed by God. He had the ability to play on his instrument and see the power of God move things in the spiritual world, even when he was young. He was honorable and made a boatload of honorable decisions in his life, but he was still subject to temptation, and so am I. And so is every man sitting in these two rooms right now. And any man who doesn't believe that is already deceived and deluded and an easy target. So we talked about it last week in one of the gatherings, but it says in 2 Samuel 11, beginning in verse 1, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed. He walked around on the roof of his palace, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba," and listen to how helpful the answer was. "The daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." That's a helpful servant right there. That's a servant who can say, "What are you thinking about? And why are you up? And why aren't you at battle with the men? And why did you stay behind? It's not good to be isolated. And being king, you're already insulated because nobody can get to where you are today. And you pretty much can do whatever you want to do and decide to do. So, A, I don't know why you're up and why you're not at battle. But, B, while we're talking about it, why are you looking at Bathsheba anyway? And C, you know her dad. That's not cool. And D, her husband's out fighting for you right now." Well, that servant, obviously, that would have been his last call. And so he's looking for a different tact. "Oh, that's Bathsheba. You know, Eliam's daughter." Keyword, daughter. Daughter. So David misses the clue. Like a lot of men miss what the Holy Spirit does at every turn. And David just blows right through that stop sign. He sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. And she went back home. And the woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "Hello, I am pregnant." Now, how did that happen? Guys, do you know how that happened? How many of you guys know how that happened? No show of hands necessary. How many of you men know how that happened? Every man in here knows how that happened. Nobody's going, "Wow, that's a weird story. I certainly don't understand that. What was David thinking?" Listen, every one of us knows how this happens. It says in James 1, if you don't know how it happens, here's how it happens. When tempted, no one should say, verse 13, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire or lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And that lust is in the heart of every man. It may not be lust for a Bathsheba, it may be lust for more money, or lust for more power, or lust for revenge, or lust for fame. But lust is in the heart of men. And if lust is in our hearts, then being isolated and insulated is a setup for failure. And we've all failed because the scripture says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in this fight, there's something about having men around you who can help us overcome the temptation that faces us. And obviously, lust isn't just a male problem. Porn is a male problem, a massive, overwhelming male problem. But porn is also a massive female problem. And so if we can just broaden the conversation for a moment, this is all of us in the place today. And we've got a fight on our hands. We are contending for our heart and our character. The third thing we're contending for and the third arena we want to fight in is we want to fight for our family. And if you don't have a family yet, then this is the best news of all. You're fighting for your future family. You start fighting for your wife today. You start fighting for your kids today, but I'm only 23 and I'm not even dating anybody. Great, perfect time to start fighting and contending for your wife today. Start fighting for your kids today. Get the focus off of me, this, that, the other, what I want to do, what I'm not doing, what I should be doing, what I want to be doing, and just start thinking, one day I hope to be a man after God's own heart. I hope to leave a legacy for the generations. How do I begin today to start thinking about my future wife, my future children, if God so provides both of those scenarios for you? And this is what we want to fight for. We want to fight for our family. Men, we're hunters and gatherers. Amen. We know how to go out and bring home the bacon. This is what we do, and we love doing it, and we're good at it. Whether we're really shooting something and cooking it for dinner, or whether we're just going to provide for our family. We are providers and protectors, and we love to do that for our family. But we also are those who are the fountain for the approval and the worth that our family so desperately need. And in Ephesians 5, the invitation comes to us in this way: men, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, I know it's thin ice when you start talking about family in 2018 or whatever year you're listening to this message in the future, but I still believe that at the heart of every woman is a desire to have a man in her life who is a protector and a provider and a source of approval for her, not the ultimate approval only God gives, but an encourager in her life. God created men and women with different roles in the family. And I still, for my money, believe that if a glass breaks in the downstairs window at 2 o'clock in the morning, most women want a guy who says, "I got it." Most women don't want a guy who says, "Babe, did you hear that? Sounds like someone just broke the kitchen window. Do you mind going down there and checking it out?" No, there's something natural about a man wanting to be protect and provide, to be a hunter and a gatherer. But men, we also have to ask God to up our emotional IQ. Not up our emotionalism necessarily, but just up our emotional IQ, because our families need more than financial deposits. Our families need emotional deposits. You're like, "Well, I don't know anything about that. My dad never even hugged me one time growing up, so what do I know about emotional deposits?" Well, not much, obviously, on the human family tree, but you've got another family tree you can get in, namely God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there's a lot of love flowing down that tree to crash into the life of every young man, to turn him into a son of Almighty God, to give him a brand new identity, loved son of a perfect father. And it gives us the opportunity to say the things our wives really want to hear. Now, I'm not talking from a place of uber strength in this, but I'm talking just from a place of what I really believe wives need and want from us. And that is these phrases: "I love you," with words. "I like you." It's a whole different phrase. "I'm thinking about you." "I want to be with you." And I want to help you fulfill your dreams. Seemed pretty easy, didn't it? Seemed relatively simple. Babe, have I told you today that I love you? In some other way, have I communicated to you that not only do I love you, I like you? And then in a different way, have I communicated to you today that I really want to be with you? That I'm thinking about you? And I'm not just looking at you to see how you can help me fulfill my dream. I want to lean into your destiny, and I would encourage you in fulfilling your dreams that God's put in your heart. And I believe that when a man is willing to be a hunter-gatherer, a protector, and a provider, but also understands that he can unlock a powerful sense of worth in his family, then now this man is contending for what matters most in life. The fourth area. And we could talk a lot more about every one of these, but that's what fight night's for. We'll have a whole night to talk about how we can be better fathers and better husbands and the men that we want to be. But the fourth area we want to contend in is we want to fight for our brother. And that's why a fight club is 3 to 5 guys. So no official number of guys, but it's more than one, it's more than two, because Ecclesiastes says, and I love this text in verse 12 of chapter 4, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So we want to stand beside our brother and say, I'm going to help you fight in these four arenas. I'm going to help you become the man you want to be. And then corporately, we're going to fight for everyone who needs someone to come to their aid. Together as men, we're going to say, where are the marginalized? Where are those who lack justice? Where are those who cannot fight for themselves? Let's go and fight for them. But in all four of these arenas, ultimately our success comes down to two things. It comes down to brotherhood and transparency. I love the Falcons' motto, in brotherhood. I love that. This isn't we're just got a job to do. It's we're going out as brothers into war. We are going out as brothers onto that field. We are going to stand beside, fight beside, play beside, win beside, lose beside our brothers. And I think the Falcons organization, Coach Quinn, they've done a phenomenal job of creating a concept and a mindset of brotherhood. I even feel like I'm in the brotherhood. But that's what every man's got to have for this to work. There's got to be brothers in the brotherhood. And the second thing that's got to happen is there's got to be transparency. Because it's not going to work to get in a fight club with three guys, get together a couple times a month or once a week or however your schedule works, talk about life, talk about family, talk about our walk with God, talk about our heart, talk about temptation, talk about lust, talk about needs around us. But not be honest. In other words, every man in this room holds the cards as to how successful you want to be at reaching the destiny that God has put in your heart. You hold all the cards. And if you're not willing to put them all down on the table, you are not going to make it to the ultimate destiny God has put in your heart. We are masters at mitigating the real self and giving just enough information, but not really getting to the point. And so, men, I'm just challenging myself and you. It's going to take brotherhood. There's not going to be one lone ranger who does this. There's not going to be one lone fighter. There will not be a book written, nor has there been, about the one lone man who won the battle against all the enemies that are in a man's heart. But there are enough books to fill up this room right now of all the men who fell trying to fight against all the enemies in a man's heart. This is going to take brotherhood. And it's going to take vulnerability. And so we've woven into the Fight Club, the true leader of the Fight Club, because this isn't a discipleship group. It's not a Bible study. There doesn't need to be a spiritual leader who's smarter than everybody else and knows the answers to everything. Any 3 to 5 guys could start a Fight Club right now. Even if they don't even know the Lord, they could start a Fight Club. Even if none of them know Scripture very well, they could start a Fight Club. Even if none of them know how to pray, they could start a Fight Club, because the leader of the Fight Club ultimately are going to be the 5 questions of the Fight Club. So we talked about 4 arenas. Really quickly, we'll close 5 questions. So we get together. What does it look like? It's like a hang. How you doing? How's life? How was the trip? How'd you shoot? How was the round? How's everything going at work? Great. Conversation starts turning now to, we got 4 arenas to talk about. How's your walk with God? How's things with your wife? How's things at home? How's things with the family? How's your heart doing right now? How's your character doing right now? And in what ways are you utilizing the gifts, abilities that God's put in your hands for the people around you? And because men typically will just jump all over the map, come to the end and say, you good, you good, you good, you good, I'm good, we all good, good. Somebody lead us in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you, we're all good. Amen, God bless. All right, we'll see you guys next week. That's typically where guys go. So we put 5 questions in every Fight Club. You cannot come to Fight Club and leave Fight Club without asking each man in the Fight Club these 5 questions. So Barry, can I come to you now? Awesome, great. Barry, question number 1. Have you intentionally pursued your relationship with God since we last met? Simple question. And simple answer. Nope, have not cracked my Bible since we met here last time, other than at church. Have not honestly been on my knees. I have not prioritized God. I have not. And that's a good answer. And so you get kicked out of the Fight Club right then and there. It's like, okay, you're out. Bye. And good luck on your fight. No, and so somebody says, well, why not? I don't know. It's weird. It's more than just that I've been busy. I really just didn't want to. Okay, oh, now we're getting vulnerable. To be really honest, I just haven't had any spiritual desire. I don't even know what's going on in me right now, but I honestly don't even think about it. Okay, that's good. Well, man, thanks for saying that, because we want to pray for you that God will rekindle desire in your heart, because we've all been there, right? And so we're not putting on masks and going, yes, I did. I did my soap and I feel good about life. Real answer would be, I did my soap, but every day I did. The only reason I did is because there were 4 others of you guys on the soap with me. If you weren't on that soap, I wouldn't have done that soap. I woke every day and went, oh, I got to do that soap. That's just where I am right now. Or you're not going to believe it. I'm in the Word. God's blowing me up right now. I'm doing a little study in Proverbs and it is absolutely rocking my world. Great. Good answer. Thanks for letting us know. And now prayer can happen. Encouragement can happen. Reality can happen. 2nd question, Barry, just coming back to you now, since we've gone around on that first one, have you made a priority to love and lead your family well since we met last? And you were mentioning the things with Allison, so how's it going with Allison? You said y'all were going to try to take that trip together. What happened? You said y'all were really needing to have that conversation. Did that happen? 3rd question, coming back around now that we've all talked about that, Barry, have you looked at anything or been with anyone in a way that would compromise your purity since we last met? Easy enough question. People are like, I was going to get in a Fight Club until right about now, and I'm thinking, yeah, I don't really need this in my life. 4, have you been honorable? See, I like the breadth of that. In other words, in that deal, were you honest? The way that you presented yourself in that meeting, were you honest? The way that you did that report, were you honest? Have you been honorable and lived with a sense of mission, leveraging your life for others since we last met? You found any way to say, I got to get out of myself and beyond myself and pour in and fight for somebody who can't fight for themselves. Now, obviously, nobody's going to get 100 out of 100 on every question. And if you do, you'll become the leader of the fight club, the grand poobah of all fight clubs. You'll be the one that speaks to all of us on fight night. You'll be the one that writes the book about how great it is to be the best man alive. You'll get to do all that amazing stuff. Most of us will be like, I'm doing pretty good on that, but not so great on that. I want to do better on that, but I'm actually making a little headway on that. Last season, I was doing better there. This season, not doing as great there. This is real life. This is real talk. This is real men contending for what matters most. And the goal isn't to get a certain score when you leave Fight Club. The goal is when you walk out of Fight Club to go, man, it's going to be easier for me to fight for the things that matter most after sitting at that table today and knowing I got guys in brotherhood with me. And it's going to be easier for me to live for the things that matter most knowing that I'm going back to that table in 9 days from now and I got to face those jokers again. It's going to be a lot easier for me to prioritize the things that matter most in life. And you do that once or twice, it's a game changer. But you do that a year or two or three, and it's a life transformer. And it's going to take a lot of time. I spent about 10 years in a coat closet. I know that sounds weird, but with a couple of guys in a fight club asking these five questions. For all through grad school, our time living in Waco, Texas, I'd drive every week. Not that that's a big deal, because that's what we do. But I'd drive 60, 70 miles, meet these guys in another city, or sometimes we'd meet halfway, rarely, because they all lived 60 miles up the road. And we'd meet on the campus of the place where I went to grad school. We found some solace in a little coat closet at a sort of ballroom. It's a big coat closet, if you're thinking while we were all in there in the dark. It's one of those long coat closets where when you come to the dinner, everybody hangs their coat in there. And we just sit on the floor and ask each other these questions. It takes time, and it's worth it. And so I want to encourage you to get your guys. That's not going to happen overnight. Some of you don't even know where to start. You might just start by going to breakfast with some guys and not say anything about the fight club. Maybe you're just interviewing them quietly for whether you like them or not. Hey, let's go to breakfast. Oh, not being in a fight club with that guy. Guy bought his study Bible to breakfast. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Meet some guys. Hang out with some guys. Ask around. If you've seen a guy in the house that you kind of look like, I respect that guy. I saw that guy at community group, or he was at my launch table, or I served alongside him at Love Atlanta. That guy seems like he's got something. But same stage of life. So you really don't want a college kid in there with a CEO that's 49. Fight Club's not going to work. That's a different relationship. That's mentoring, and that could happen. Same stage of life, find your guys, make a plan, register your fight club online, go to passioncitychurch.com, click on the fight club button, tells you how to make one, what you do when you have one, tells you the five questions, gives you everything you need to know right there, but you can register because we're going to be sending you encouragement along the way, and then start meeting. As iron sharpens iron, a man sharpens a man, and we all want to be the sharpest we can be in this life. So can we commit today to brotherhood? And can we commit to vulnerability and transparency? If we do, things are going to change. And we are going to reach our God-given destiny and be the men that God created us to be. Who's in? Anybody in for a fight club? Anybody in? I've already heard from people around the world who've been listening to the podcast. Is there any reason why we can't do a fight club in South Africa? I said, absolutely not. You have to be a part of Passion City Church to do a fight club. So no, can't do it. Someone told me walking in today, I already know of a fight club in Whitby Island, Washington. I know of a fight club starting at Columbus Air Force Base in Mississippi. Guys in a squadron. I already heard about a fight club starting in Dothan, Alabama. I'd love to hear about a fight club starting with some NFL guys on a team, 3 to 5 of you. 3 to 5 college guys taking this next season of life and saying, we're starting a fight club together. A group of CEOs in New York City, somebody on the East Coast, somebody down under in Australia. Fight club can start anywhere. You can get all the information and encouragement you need, passioncitychurch.com.
encouraged by today's talk and believe it would be uplifting to others, then be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast. encouraged by today's talk and believe it would be uplifting to others, then be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.